Less than intro, greater than. Welcome to the award-winning podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is the incredible Jen.
Hi everyone. Today, we're thrilled to uncover the fascinating research behind a new approach to anomaly detection. The paper we'll be discussing is titled Odd One Out, Anomaly Detection by Comparing with Neighbors, and it was authored by Ankan Bunia, Changjian Li, and Hakan Bilan from the University of Edinburgh.
This paper introduces a novel take on the classic problem of anomaly detection, where the goal is to identify objects that stand out as odd-looking compared to the majority within a given scene. Unlike traditional anomaly detection benchmarks, this setting focuses on instances where the definition of normality is specific to each individual object, rather than a global, implicit understanding.
The researchers have developed two new benchmarks, TOISE-AD8K and PARTSAD15K, to provide a testbed for this unique anomaly detection challenge. And they've proposed a clever method that generates 3D object-centric representations to detect the anomalous instances through a cross-examination process. This is sure to be a fascinating deep dive, so let's get started. Less than, intro greater than, less than, body greater than.
Okay, let's start by understanding the key research question behind this paper. What exactly is this new anomaly detection problem all about?
Well, the researchers were inspired by real-world visual inspection scenarios, like quality control in manufacturing. In these cases, the definition of normal is often very specific to each individual object, rather than a global, implicit understanding of normality.
That's a great point. The classic anomaly detection benchmarks typically focus on identifying outliers that deviate from the overall data distribution, like detecting an object from an unseen category or identifying unusual textures and shapes. But in this new setting, the researchers are asking a different question.
Exactly. Here, the goal is to identify odd-looking objects within a scene, where the normal instances make up the majority. So the anomalies are defined in a much more context-specific way, based on how the regular objects in that particular scene look.
I see. Can you give us an example to better illustrate this idea?
Sure. Let's say the task is to produce coffee cups with red handles. In this case, a coffee cup with a red handle would be considered normal, while one with a blue handle would be the anomaly. But if the goal was to produce blue-handled cups, then the opposite would be true. The blue-handled cup would be normal, and the red-handled one would be the odd one out.
Ah, I understand now. The definition of normality is not universal, but rather depends on the specific context and the majority of instances in a given scene. This is a really interesting and nuanced take on anomaly detection.
Absolutely. And to tackle this novel problem, the researchers developed two new benchmarks, TOISE-AD8K and PARTSAD15K, which provide multiple views of each scene as input. This is an important aspect, as object instances are often only partly visible from a single viewpoint.
Got it. So the key differences here are the context-specific definition of normality, the presence of multiple views for each scene, and the focus on identifying the odd one out rather than just detecting deviations from an overall distribution. This seems like a much more realistic and challenging task compared to traditional anomaly detection.
Definitely, and the researchers have proposed a clever solution to address this new problem. They've developed a method that generates 3D object-centric representations for each instance and then detects the anomalous ones through a cross-examination process between the instances.
That's fascinating. Can you walk us through how their method works?
Sure, let's dive into the details. The core idea is to create a 3D object-centric representation for each instance in the scene, which captures the object's shape and appearance in a more robust way than 2D representations. This allows the method to better compare the instances and identify the ones that stand out as anomalies.
Okay, so how does the cross-examination process work?
Well, the researchers start by generating these 3D object-centric representations for each instance. Then, they implement a clever way of comparing the representations, looking for discrepancies between each instance and its neighbors. The instances that are deemed most different from their neighbors are identified as the anomalies.
I see. So it's not just looking for deviations from some global normal pattern, but really examining how each object compares to the other objects within the same scene. That's a really innovative approach.
Exactly. and the researchers have rigorously evaluated their method on the two new benchmarks, TOIS AD8K and PARTS AD15K, which contain a variety of scenes with normal and anomalous instances. The results show that their 3D object-centric representation and cross-examination strategy outperforms other state-of-the-art anomaly detection methods.
That's impressive. Can you share some insights into the key findings and conclusions from the paper?
Sure, the paper highlights a few important takeaways. First, the researchers demonstrate that their approach is effective at identifying scene-specific anomalies, which are much more challenging to detect than the global anomalies targeted by traditional methods. Second, they show that leveraging 3D object-centric representations and cross-examining the instances within a scene is a powerful way to tackle this new anomaly detection problem.
That's really exciting. This work not only introduces a novel and more realistic anomaly detection challenge, but also proposes an innovative solution that seems to outperform existing methods. It's fascinating to see how the researchers have reframed the problem and developed a clever way to address it.
Absolutely. I think one of the strengths of this paper is the way it bridges the gap between academic research and real-world applications. By drawing inspiration from visual inspection scenarios, the researchers have created a more practical and impactful anomaly detection task.
That's a great point. And the development of the TOIS AD8K and PARTS AD15K benchmarks is also a significant contribution, as it provides a standardized testbed for future research in this area.
Yes, exactly. Having these well-designed benchmarks will really help drive progress in this new direction of anomaly detection. It's exciting to see how this work could pave the way for more context-aware, instance-specific anomaly detection methods that could have wide-ranging applications in industry and beyond.
I agree. This is a really impressive piece of research. The researchers have not only identified an important gap in the field, but have also developed a clever solution and created valuable benchmarks to support further advancements. It's this kind of innovative, real-world focused work that really pushes the boundaries of what's possible in computer vision and anomaly detection.
Absolutely. This is a great example of how rigorous scientific research can lead to transformative breakthroughs, especially when it's grounded in practical challenges. I'm really excited to see what other researchers will do with this new problem formulation and the tools the authors have provided, less than, body greater than, less than, reflections greater than.
As we reflect on this paper, what are some of the key strengths and potential limitations of this approach?
Well, one of the clear strengths is the novelty of the problem formulation. By shifting the focus to scene-specific anomalies rather than global outliers, the researchers have opened up a whole new avenue for anomaly detection research. The use of 3D object-centric representations and the cross-examination strategy also seems like a very clever and effective way to tackle this challenge.
Agreed. The 3D representations in particular seem like a valuable advancement, as they can capture more robust information about the object's shape and appearance compared to 2D. And the cross-examination process is a really innovative way to identify the odd one out within a given context.
That's a great point. One potential limitation, though, could be the reliance on having multiple views of each scene. While this is an important aspect of the problem, it may limit the real-world applicability in some scenarios where only single-view data is available.
That's a fair critique. The multi-view requirement could potentially be a constraint, especially in certain industrial inspection settings. It would be interesting to see if the researchers or future studies could find ways to adapt the method to work with single-view inputs as well.
Absolutely. And another potential area for improvement could be in the interpretability of the anomaly detection process. While the 3D representations and cross-examination approach seem effective, it might be helpful to have more transparency into why certain instances are identified as anomalies. This could improve trust and facilitate better integration into real-world applications.
That's a great point. Explainability is often a key consideration in deploying AI systems, especially in high-stakes domains like quality control. Providing more insight into the reasoning behind the anomaly detection decisions could be an important next step.
Definitely. Overall, though, I think this paper represents a really exciting and innovative contribution to the field of anomaly detection. By reframing the problem and developing novel technical solutions, the researchers have opened up new possibilities for more context-aware, instance-specific anomaly detection. It's the kind of work that can have a transformative impact on real-world applications.
I couldn't agree more. This is the kind of research that pushes the boundaries of what's possible and sets the stage for even greater advancements in the future. I'm really impressed by the creativity and rigor demonstrated in this paper, and I can't wait to see how the field evolves as a result of this work. Reflections greater than less than conclusion greater than. In summary, this paper on odd one out. Anomaly detection by comparing with neighbors introduces a novel and more realistic take on the classic anomaly detection problem. By focusing on identifying odd-looking objects within a given scene, rather than just global outliers, the researchers have opened up new avenues for practical applications in areas like quality control and product inspection.
The key innovations include the development of two new benchmarks, TOIS AD8K and PARTS AD15K, which provide a testbed for this scene-specific anomaly detection challenge. The researchers have also proposed a clever method that generates 3D object-centric representations and uses a cross-examination process to identify the anomalous instances within a scene.
This work not only presents a significant conceptual advancement in anomaly detection, but also demonstrates the power of grounding academic research in real-world problems. By drawing inspiration from practical visual inspection scenarios, the researchers have created a more impactful and applicable task that could have wide-ranging implications.
Absolutely. As we've discussed, this paper sets the stage for future breakthroughs in context-aware, instance-specific anomaly detection. The development of robust 3D representations and the cross-examination strategy are particularly exciting, and I can't wait to see how other researchers build upon this foundation to push the boundaries of what's possible.
Me too, Jen. This is the kind of cutting-edge work that truly captures the essence of our podcast, uncovering the fascinating stories behind the latest scientific discoveries and exploring their broader significance. It's been a pleasure diving into this remarkable research with you, and I'm sure our listeners are as inspired and intrigued as we are.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This has been a truly enlightening discussion, and I'm grateful to the researchers for their innovative contributions to the field of anomaly detection. By reframing the problem and developing novel solutions, they've opened up new possibilities for more context-aware, instance-specific applications that could have a transformative impact. It's work like this that keeps us all excited about the future of computer vision and AI.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. A deep dive into the groundbreaking research on odd one out. Anomaly detection by comparing with neighbors. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the award-winning podcast. Less than, conclusion greater than. Clear's throat asterisk, are you tired of boring, cookie-cutter anomaly detection methods that just can't keep up with the real world? Then you need Oddities Inc., the scene-specific anomaly detection experts.
That's right, folks. At Oddities Inc., we've taken the groundbreaking research from the odd one-out paper and turned it into a revolutionary product that will transform your quality control and product inspection processes.
Using state-of-the-art 3D object-centric representations and a patented cross-examination algorithm, Oddities Inc. can identify the true odd ones out in your production line, saving you time, money, and a whole lot of headaches.
No more global outliers ruining your day. Oddities Inc. is all about finding the scene-specific anomalies that really matter. From coffee cups with the wrong colored handles to toy cars that just don't fit in, we'll sniff out the weirdos in your lineup faster than you can say quality assurance.
So what are you waiting for? Contact Oddities Inc. today and let us bring your anomaly detection game into the 21st century. Oddities Inc. because normal is boring, and we live for the weird.
In a deep, dramatic voice asterisk Oddities Inc. detect the odd. Embrace the odd.
Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hello everyone. Today, we'll be exploring an exciting new paper titled Web2Code, a large-scale webpage to code dataset and evaluation framework for multimodal LLMs. This research, conducted by a team of researchers from MBZUAI, Carnegie Mellon University, and other institutions, aims to address a surprising limitation in the capabilities of modern large language models.
That's right, Jen. Despite the incredible progress we've seen in multimodal large language models, or MLLMs, these powerful AI systems have struggled with a seemingly simple task, understanding web page screenshots and generating the corresponding HTML code. This is a crucial capability for applications like UI prototyping, automation agents, and accessibility tools.
Exactly, Tom. The researchers behind this paper recognized this gap and set out to create a solution. They developed a new large-scale dataset called Web2Code, which combines web page images with detailed instructions and HTML code, as well as structured question and answer pairs about the web page content.
The key innovation here is the way the researchers built this dataset. They didn't just rely on existing web page to code datasets, which often lack the necessary instruction information for aligning the visual input with the language model's knowledge. Instead, they leveraged the power of large language models like GPT-3.5 and GPT-4 to both clean up existing data and generate completely new, diverse web pages.
That's fascinating, Tom. By harnessing the language generation capabilities of these cutting-edge models, the researchers were able to create a much richer and more comprehensive dataset than what was previously available. This not only helps train MLLMs to better understand and generate web page content, but it also opens up new avenues for research in this area.
Absolutely, Jen. And to further support this research, the team also developed two specialized benchmarks, the Web Page Understanding Benchmark, WUB, and the Web Page Code Generation Benchmark, WCGB. These allow for a more rigorous and standardized evaluation of an MLLM's abilities in web page understanding and HTML code generation, respectively.
That's a really smart approach, Tom. By creating these dedicated evaluation frameworks, the researchers can not only assess the performance of their own models, but also provide a valuable tool for the broader research community to measure progress in this important area.
You know, one of the interesting things the paper highlights is that traditional text similarity metrics just aren't enough to evaluate the quality of the generated HTML code. Instead, the researchers proposed a novel approach where they render the output HTML back into a web page screenshot and then use another advanced language model, GPT-4Volts, to assess the quality of the resulting web page.
That's a really clever solution, Tom. It speaks to the nuance and complexity involved in evaluating these kinds of multimodal tasks. Simply checking for verbatim matches in the code doesn't capture the true fidelity of the web page recreation, so this approach of using a high-performance visual language model is a great way to get a more holistic assessment.
Absolutely, Jen. And the results of their experiments are really promising. The researchers showed that by including the Web2Code dataset in the instruction tuning stage, they were able to significantly improve the HTML code generation abilities of their MLLM, while also seeing slight improvements in its general perception and reasoning capabilities.
That's a fantastic outcome, Tom. Not only does this dataset help address the specific challenge of web page understanding and code generation, but it also has broader benefits for the overall performance of these large language models. It's a great example of how targeted dataset curation can have a positive impact across multiple domains.
Exactly, Jen. This research really highlights the importance of developing specialized datasets and benchmarks to push the boundaries of what these powerful AI systems can do. By filling this gap in web page-related capabilities, the Web2Code project has the potential to unlock new applications and use cases for multimodal language models.
Absolutely, Tom. This is the kind of work that can truly advance the field of artificial intelligence and bring us closer to more capable, well-rounded language models that can seamlessly integrate visual, textual, and coding-related information. I'm really excited to see how this research progresses and what new breakthroughs it might inspire.
Me too, Jen. This is such a fascinating and impactful area of study. I think the Web2Code project is a great example of how rigorous, thoughtful dataset creation and innovative evaluation can drive real progress in AI. It's been a pleasure diving into this research with you today, and I'm sure our listeners have gained a deeper appreciation for the challenges and potential of multimodal language models.
Absolutely, Tom. This has been a really enlightening discussion, and I'm grateful to the researchers who put in the hard work to create this dataset and evaluation framework. It's a great reminder that even seemingly simple tasks can pose significant hurdles for AI systems, and that targeted, high-quality data is crucial for overcoming those challenges. I'm excited to see what other breakthroughs emerge in this space in the years to come.
Well said, Jen. Before we wrap up, Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the key takeaways or implications of this research?
I think the main takeaway is that the development of specialized datasets and benchmarks is essential for pushing the boundaries of what multimodal language models can do. By creating resources like Web2 Code, researchers are giving these systems the tools they need to better understand and interact with rich, real-world visual information like web pages. And as we've seen, the benefits can extend beyond the specific task at hand, leading to broader improvements in perception, reasoning, and language understanding. It's a great example of how strategic data curation can unlock new capabilities for AI.
Absolutely, Jen. This research is a testament to the power of innovation in dataset creation and evaluation, and it serves as an inspiration for other teams looking to advance the state of the art in multimodal AI. I'm sure our listeners have gained a deep appreciation for the work that goes into these kinds of breakthroughs, and we're excited to see what the future holds for this rapidly evolving field.
Well said, Tom. Thank you all for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed this in-depth exploration of the Web2 Code research and its implications for the future of multimodal language models. Be sure to check out the paper and the project website to learn more. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science with us.
Thanks, everyone. This has been Tom and Jen, signing off. Are you tired of struggling to turn your web page designs into functional code?
Introducing Web2 Code Solutions, the one-stop shop for all your web page to code needs.
Our revolutionary AI-powered platform takes your web page screenshots and instantly generates the perfect HTML, CSS, and JavaScript code to bring your designs to life.
No more spending hours manually coding, no more hiring expensive developers. With Web2 Code Solutions, you can transform your vision into a working website in seconds.
Just upload your web page mockup, and our multimodal language models will work their magic. Bye-bye, coding nightmares. Hello, digital dreams come true.
And that's not all. Our specialized benchmarking tools ensure your code is pixel perfect every time. It's like having a team of coding geniuses at your fingertips.
So what are you waiting for? Unleash your creativity with Web2 Code Solutions. The future of web development is here.
Visit web2codesolutions.com and start building your dream website today. Guaranteed to impress, or your money back.
Web2 Code Solutions. Transforming ideas into reality, one web page at a time. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate groundbreaking research with depth and intrigue. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hello everyone. Today, we're diving into a fascinating paper that explores new frontiers in robot learning. The title of the paper is LLARA, Supercharging Robot Learning Data for Vision Language Policy.
This research, conducted by a team from Stony Brook University and the University of Wisconsin-Madison, tackles a crucial challenge in the field of robotics, how to empower robots with more robust and versatile action policies.
The key insight behind this work is the power of large language models, or LLMs, which have demonstrated remarkable capabilities across a wide range of tasks. The researchers wanted to harness this powerful technology to supercharge robot learning.
Traditionally, robot action policies have been trained using behavior cloning, essentially, learning from expert demonstrations. But the researchers realized that there was an opportunity to take this a step further by framing the problem as a conversation-style interaction between the robot and its human operators.
That's right, Tom. The team developed a framework called LLARA, which stands for Large Language and Robotics Assistant. The core idea is to transform typical behavior cloning datasets into instruction response pairs, allowing a vision language model, or VLM, to be fine-tuned as a robot action policy.
This is a really clever approach. By casting the problem as a natural language interaction, the researchers are able to leverage the extensive knowledge and reasoning capabilities of LLMs, which have been trained on vast amounts of text data. The VLM can then process visual inputs and generate optimal policy decisions in the form of text.
Exactly, but the researchers didn't stop there. They recognized that the effectiveness of this instruction-tuned VLM heavily depends on the quality and diversity of the training data. So they introduced an automated pipeline to generate high-quality robotics instruction data from existing behavior cloning datasets.
This is a crucial innovation. Manually curating large datasets of human-like instructions for robotic tasks is an incredibly challenging and time-consuming process. By automating this data generation, the researchers were able to supercharge the training of their VLM-based policy.
But that's not all. The team also identified that simply converting behavior cloning data into instruction response pairs wasn't enough. They went a step further and generated additional auxiliary datasets that could complement the policy learning in a self-supervised manner.
Fascinating. Can you tell us more about these auxiliary datasets and how they enhanced the VLM's performance?
Absolutely. The researchers recognized that for a VLM to truly excel at robotic tasks, it needed to develop a strong understanding of spatial relationships, temporal dynamics, and other key visuomotor skills. So they designed a suite of auxiliary datasets that captured these important facets of the task environment.
Can you give us an example of one of these auxiliary datasets?
Sure. Let's take a look at the spatial relationship dataset. This dataset was automatically generated from the behavior cloning data, and it tasked the VLM with identifying the spatial relationships between objects in the scene. For instance, the model might be given a visual prompt and asked to describe the location of a specific object relative to other elements in the image. By training the VLM on this auxiliary dataset in addition to the core instruction response pairs, the researchers were able to imbue the model with a deeper spatial awareness, a critical capability for generating effective robot action policies.
That's really clever. Essentially, they're taking the same underlying behavior cloning data and restructuring it in a way that allows the VLM to learn complementary skills that enhance its performance on the core robotic tasks.
Exactly. The researchers call this process of generating auxiliary datasets supercharging the robot learning data. And their experiments across multiple simulated and real-world environments demonstrate that this approach leads to state-of-the-art performance for VLM-based robot action policies.
That's impressive. So in summary, the key innovations of the LLARA framework are 1. Transforming behavior cloning data into instruction response pairs to enable VLM fine-tuning. 2. Automating the generation of high-quality robotics instruction data. And 3. Creating complementary auxiliary datasets to enhance the VLM's visuomotor understanding.
Precisely. The researchers have really taken a holistic approach to leveraging the power of large language models for robotic task learning. By carefully curating and structuring the training data, they've been able to unlock the full potential of these powerful AI systems.
This is such an exciting development in the field of robotics. It really speaks to the broader trend of using large language models as flexible, generalist agents that can be adapted to solve a wide range of challenges. In this case, enabling more capable and adaptable robot action policies.
Absolutely. And the implications go beyond just robotics. I can see the principles and techniques developed in this LLARA framework being applied to other domains where language and vision need to be tightly integrated, like augmented reality, autonomous driving, or even creative AI assistance.
That's a great point. The ability to seamlessly blend language understanding with visual perception is a fundamental challenge in artificial intelligence. The researchers have demonstrated a compelling approach here that could have far-reaching applications.
I'm really impressed by the depth of thought and creativity that went into this work. The researchers didn't just take a superficial approach of slapping a language model onto a robotic system. They truly went the extra mile to understand the nuances of how to best leverage these powerful AI tools for robotic control.
Agreed. And I think one of the most exciting aspects is the scalability and generalizability of their approach. By automating the data generation process, they've opened the door to applying these techniques to a wide variety of robotic domains, beyond just the specific use cases explored in the paper.
Absolutely. This work really pushes the boundaries of what's possible when you combine the vast knowledge and reasoning capabilities of large language models with the embodied, real-world interactions of robotics. It's a tantalizing glimpse of the future, where AI and robotics seamlessly collaborate to tackle increasingly complex challenges.
Well said, Jen. This paper is a true testament to the innovative spirit of the research community, constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible. I can't wait to see what other breakthroughs emerge as the fields of language, AI, and robotics continue to converge.
Me too, Tom. This has been a fascinating exploration of the LLARA framework, and I'm sure our listeners are as inspired as we are by the potential of this work. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Upbeat jingle plays.
Are you tired of your robot assistant always getting lost or confused? Introducing the new LLARA Robo Whisperer.
That's right, folks. With our revolutionary large language and robotics assistant technology, your robot will be speaking your language in no time. No more lost deliveries or disastrous dinner parties.
The LLARA Robo Whisperer uses cutting-edge AI to seamlessly integrate your robot's vision and language processing. It's like having a universal translator for your mechanical best friend.
Simply download the LLARA app, pair it with your robot, and watch as your new robotic companion becomes an obedient, articulate, and spatially aware servant. Tired of your robot misplacing your keys? The Robo Whisperer will have it found in seconds.
And that's not all. The LLARA Robo Whisperer also comes with a suite of auxiliary training modules to boost your robot skills. From object recognition to temporal reasoning, your robot will be a renaissance machine in no time.
So what are you waiting for? Get the LLARA Robo Whisperer today and transform your robot from a bumbling sidekick to a streamlined, language-savvy assistant. Available now for a limited time at your local cyborg emporium. Jingle fades out. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host, Jen.
Today, we're diving into a fascinating piece of research that has the potential to revolutionize how we create synthetic data. The paper is titled Scaling Synthetic Data Creation with 1 Billion Personas, and it comes to us from researchers at the Tencent AI Lab.
This paper proposes a novel approach to synthetic data creation that leverages large language models and a massive collection of diverse personas. The key finding is that by tapping into the perspectives and knowledge encapsulated within these personas, researchers can generate vast quantities of high-quality synthetic data for a wide range of applications.
The motivation behind this work is the growing importance of synthetic data for training large language models. While it's easy to scale up the quantity of synthetic data, ensuring its diversity has been a persistent challenge. The authors identified two main limitations in previous approaches, instance-driven and keypoint-driven data synthesis.
Exactly. The instance-driven approach, which diversifies prompts based on a seed corpus, is limited by the diversity of the seed data. And the keypoint-driven approach, which curates a comprehensive list of concepts, is simply not scalable. That's where the persona-driven methodology comes in.
The core idea is that by integrating personas into the data synthesis prompts, the language model can be steered towards creating synthetic data from a specific perspective. And the researchers have taken this concept to an incredible scale by introducing Persona Hub, a collection of 1 billion diverse personas automatically harvested from web data.
That's just mind-boggling, Jen. 1 billion personas, which is approximately 13% of the world's population. These personas act as distributed carriers of knowledge, allowing the language model to tap into a vast array of perspectives and experiences.
The researchers outline two scalable approaches to construct Persona Hub. The first is text-to-persona, where they prompt the language model to derive personas based on the text they're likely to read, write, or be interested in. The second is persona-to-persona, where they expand the persona collection by deducing interpersonal relationships.
And to ensure the diversity of Persona Hub, they employ advanced deduplication techniques, including min-hash-based deduplication and embedding-based deduplication. The end result is a truly impressive collection of 1 billion unique personas.
Now, the real magic happens when they integrate these personas into the data synthesis prompts. The researchers demonstrate this across a variety of use cases, like math problem generation, logical reasoning problem creation, instruction writing, and even game NPC development.
Let's dive into the math problem generation example. When prompted to create a math problem with the persona of a chemical kinetics researcher, the language model produces a much more specialized and challenging problem, compared to a general persona. The questions delve into advanced concepts like vector spaces, linear independence, and black hole metrics.
Absolutely. And the researchers also show how the persona-driven approach can be combined with both zero-shot and few-shot prompting techniques. The persona-enhanced few-shot prompting, in particular, allows the language model to really get into the mindset of the specified persona and generate data that is truly aligned with their expertise and perspective.
To evaluate the effectiveness of their approach, the researchers created over 1 million synthetic math problems using personas from PersonaHub. They then tested these problems on both an in-distribution synthetic test set as well as the math benchmark, which contains competitive-level math problems.
The results are quite remarkable. The synthetic math problems generated with persona-driven prompts were able to match the performance of GPT-4 Turbo, one of the most powerful language models, on the math benchmark. This really speaks to the quality and diversity of the synthetic data created using PersonaHub.
Absolutely. And the potential applications of this technology go far beyond just math problems. The researchers showcase how persona-driven data synthesis can be used to create high-quality instructions, knowledge-rich texts, game NPCs, and even software functions. The versatility of this approach is truly impressive.
What's particularly exciting is the scalability of this methodology. By tapping into the 1 billion personas in PersonaHub, the researchers have unlocked the ability to create vast quantities of diverse synthetic data for a wide range of use cases. This could have profound implications for the development and evaluation of large language models.
You know, Jen, one of the most fascinating aspects of this work is the researchers' acknowledgement of the potential risks and concerns. They clearly recognize that this technology, if misused, could lead to the replication and dumping of powerful language models' knowledge and capabilities.
That's a really important point, Tom. The researchers are taking a thoughtful and responsible approach, emphasizing the need for ethical and careful application of this technology. They've even opted to initially release only a subset of the data, pending a deeper assessment of the risks.
Absolutely. This kind of self-awareness and proactive consideration of potential downsides is so crucial as we continue to push the boundaries of what's possible with language models and synthetic data. It's a great example of how impactful research can be done in a responsible and thoughtful manner.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This paper really showcases the incredible potential of persona-driven data synthesis, while also highlighting the need for diligence and care in the development and deployment of such powerful technologies. It's an important step forward in the field, and I'm excited to see how this work will shape the future of large language model research and applications.
Same here, Jen. This has been a fascinating dive into a truly cutting-edge piece of research. The ability to scale synthetic data creation with 1 billion personas is a remarkable achievement, and the implications could be transformative. We'll be keeping a close eye on the continued developments in this space.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us on this episode of Cutting Edge Discoveries. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned for more exciting explorations of the latest advancements in science and technology.
Until next time, keep discovering.
Are you tired of the same old synthetic data? Tired of generic personas and boring datasets? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing PersonaForge, the world's first one-stop shop for 1 billion unique synthetic personas, ready to infuse your data with personality, style, and a touch of the bizarre.
Need a math problem solver who's also a professional mermaid? We've got that. How about a coding expert who's secretly a llama whisperer? No problem.
With PersonaForge, the possibilities are endless. From game NPCs that are truly out of this world to training data that will have your language models doing double takes, we've got the personas to take your projects to the next level.
So what are you waiting for? Ditch the generic and embrace the extraordinary with PersonaForge, where a billion fascinating minds are at your fingertips.
PersonaForge. Synthetic data. Elevated. Upbeat jingle plays. Announcer. PersonaForge. Synthetic data. Elevated. Available now at PersonaForge.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hi there. Today, we're excited to discuss a fascinating paper that explores new ways to make large multimodal language models more efficient. The title of the paper is LLA Volta, Efficient Multimodal Models via Stage-Wise Visual Context Compression.
This research comes from a team at Johns Hopkins University, and it tackles a crucial challenge in the field of artificial intelligence. As large language models have become increasingly powerful, integrating them with visual information has opened up a whole new frontier of capabilities. But managing all that visual data efficiently has been a lingering problem.
That's right. Multimodal language models, or MLLMs, as the researchers call them, can process and understand not just text, but also visual information. This allows them to excel at tasks like visual question answering, where you need to interpret an image and provide a relevant textual response.
The key insight of this paper is that there may be a significant amount of redundancy in the visual tokens that these models process. In other words, they may be wasting computational resources on visual information that isn't really necessary for the task at hand.
To explore this idea, the researchers first conducted a simple experiment on an existing MLLM called LLAVA 1.5-7B. They simply reduced the number of visual tokens in the model by applying average pooling at different layers, and then tested the model's performance on the GQA visual question answering benchmark.
The results were quite surprising. Even when they eliminated up to 70% of the visual tokens, the model's performance only dropped by about 3%. This strongly suggested that a lot of the visual information was redundant and not essential for the model's performance.
Intrigued by this finding, the researchers set out to develop a new approach to make MLLMs more efficient. They call it the visual context compressor, and it's essentially a way to reduce the number of visual tokens during the training process, rather than just at inference time.
The key innovation here is that the researchers use a very simple technique, average pooling. They apply this pooling operation at different layers of the MLLM, compressing the visual tokens down to a smaller size. And remarkably, this simple approach outperformed more complex, attention-based compression methods.
The researchers attribute this to two main factors. First, the simple pooling operation makes training more stable, compared to the attention-based approaches that are more focused on inference acceleration. And second, the visual tokens in the deeper layers of the model are actually quite redundant, so a simple compressor in those layers is effective enough.
But the researchers didn't stop there. They also developed a training scheme called LLA Volta that progressively reduces the compression ratio over the course of training. This helps mitigate any potential information loss from the compression, while still maintaining the efficiency gains.
LLA Volta works in three stages. In the first stage, they apply heavy compression, using a large pooling stride to dramatically reduce the number of visual tokens. Then, in the second stage, they use a smaller pooling stride for a lighter level of compression. And finally, in the third stage, they remove the compression entirely, ensuring no information is lost during inference.
The results of this training approach are really impressive. Across 13 different benchmarks for image language and video language understanding, the LLA Volta models not only outperformed the non-compressed baseline, but also reduced the overall training time by 16%.
That's a substantial efficiency gain, Tom. And what's even more remarkable is that the researchers were able to achieve this without sacrificing model performance. In fact, the four-stage training scheme of LLA Volta was the best performer on 9 out of the 13 benchmarks.
Exactly. This really speaks to the power of their approach in identifying and addressing the redundancy in visual tokens. By compressing those tokens in a smart, stage-wise manner during training, they were able to create models that are both more efficient and more effective.
One of the key takeaways here is just how much potential there is to optimize the visual processing within these large multimodal language models. The researchers have shown that a significant amount of the visual information is simply not necessary for the models to perform well on their tasks.
And by being able to identify and remove that redundant information, the researchers have opened up new avenues for building more efficient, cost-effective MLLMs that can be deployed at scale. This has huge implications for real-world applications, where computing resources and power consumption are major constraints.
Absolutely. I think what's most exciting about this work is that it really challenges the conventional wisdom around multimodal models. The field has often focused on just increasing the size and complexity of these models, but this research shows there may be smarter ways to achieve efficiency and performance.
Definitely. And I'm curious to see what other insights the researchers might uncover as they continue to explore the nature of visual redundancy in these systems. There's likely a lot more to learn about how we can build increasingly capable, yet streamlined multimodal models.
I agree, Tom. This paper is just the start of what could be a really fruitful line of inquiry. By shedding light on the inherent redundancies in visual processing, the researchers have laid the groundwork for a new era of advancements in multimodal AI. It's an exciting time, and I can't wait to see what else this team and others in the field come up with.
Me neither, Jen. This has been a fascinating deep dive into a cutting-edge piece of research. The LLA Volta approach offers a really compelling solution to a crucial challenge in the world of large language models. I'm sure our listeners have gained a lot of insight into the state of the art in this rapidly evolving field.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. Be sure to check out the paper and the researchers' work if you want to learn more. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll be exploring another fascinating scientific discovery. Until then, keep exploring.
Catch you next time.
Are you tired of your multimodal language models being bloated and inefficient? Introducing LLA Volta, the world's first stage-wise visual context compression technology.
That's right, folks. LLA Volta takes those big, bulky models and slims them down, cutting out all the unnecessary visual fluff. No more wasted computational resources, just lean, mean, multimodal machine learning.
How do we do it? With our patented visual context compressor technology, of course. Using simple average pooling, we can reduce your model's visual token count by up to 70% without sacrificing performance.
And get this. Our LLA Volta training scheme even makes your models perform better than the non-compressed versions. It's like getting a free upgrade, just by letting us work our magic.
So if you're tired of your AI models being bloated, flabby, and inefficient, call 1-800-LLA-VOLTA and experience the power of stage-wise visual context compression today. LLA Volta, slim down your models, beef up your results.
Operators are standing by. Call now and receive a free box of model compression supplements. That's 1-800-LLA-VOLTA. Don't settle for chunky, outdated multimodal models. Get LLA Volta, and get fit.